I've come a long way since my childhood, but in some ways, I'm still a fool. A fool who slept with her boss. After culinary school, I worked in some dives in bigger cities, but eventually found my way back to Door County. Richard sold the bar and retired with his wife, and I wanted to be closer to them. It also helped that Brett was living there now. He'd taken over his parents' home when they decided they were done with Wisconsin winters. I started working for Brett in the restaurant he managed, spending as much time with Richard as possible. Unfortunately, he died less than a year later from an aggressive cancer, caught too late. I knew I needed a change, so I started looking for openings in a new restaurant in one of the other cities on the peninsula, which is how I wound up working for Stephen Frieder, consummate ladies' man and owner of a slightly upscale lunch and dinner restaurant in the heart of Sturgeon Bay. He gave me free rein to do what I wanted with his menu, and I went crazy making it my own. Unfortunately, the liberties I took also gave me the confidence to feel more like a business partner than an employee, which led me to staying late one night after the restaurant closed, wanting to talk to Steve about an idea to expand into catering. It wasn't a formal pitch, more like a, hey, we should probably do this to make more money, type of meeting. We were pouring liberal fingers of whiskey into our tumblers as we talked. After working so closely together, the addition of alcohol lowered our inhibitions enough that, when he started flirting with me, I didn't immediately stop it. Things got carried away, and we cleared off his desk in a rush, tangling in sloppy touches and sudden, dizzying lust. When we sobered up enough to realize it was a terrible idea, we stared at each other in silence, not wanting to be the first to speak.
"This can't happen again."
My heart stalled at Steve's blunt words, even though my brain recognized that ignoring what had just happened was the only logical thing to do. He didn't have girlfriends, and I wasn't interested in being his late-night booty call, but it still stung to hear him say that while I was still trying to button my pants. It made me think I was part of the innumerable girls he constantly picked up at the bar, cheap and easily forgotten. After Richard got me out of Green Bay, I swore that I would focus on work and making a good life for myself. Hookups with my boss were not part of that plan. I agreed to his proclamation with a quick nod and then started searching around for my shirt while he disposed of the condom. We went back to a standard chef and restaurant owner relationship after that, and I tried to force myself to stop thinking about him. It didn't work. I kept picturing the way his jaw clenched when he focused too hard on a problem, or the way his whole body shuddered when he came. My brain was stuck on the idea of him. The second time I slept with Steve was the day he got the loan to purchase the space next door approved. He convinced the bank to give him enough to get the building and all the extra equipment we needed for the expansion. He bounded into the kitchen before we opened and kept repeating, "we" and "us." I thought he missed being with me as much as I missed being with him. That, with the business plans we were making, something had changed, and he was thinking more long-term. When he kissed me in excitement, it was impossible to deny the pull between us. He went from the jubilant high of getting his way at the bank to pushing me against the kitchen door and wedging himself between my legs. This time, alcohol wasn't an excuse, and afterward, he said nothing, just straightened his clothes and ran out of the door.